It's about ready to get real.
Good morning. Today is October 30th, and this is the Public Works and Utilities Commission. And today, present are myself, Rebecca Czar, and filling in for Councilmember Jensen is Councilmember Birch. And today's discussion will have the tree maintenance on Correll Drive. Take it away.
I thought Bo was going to talk. So I was not at the last council meeting. I did go back and listen to the audio. The residents of Correll Park had come forward, or Correll Commons, excuse me, had come forward with a concern over the tree trimming. The Homeowners Association had been notified that the trees along Correll Drive needed to be trimmed so that we could get the sweeper through. Going through our code, I give you two references in our code, one of them related to street trees and one of them related to maintenance of planting strips. Planting strips are the maintenance of the abutting property owner. So whether it's the grass that's in the planting strip or the trees that are located in there, they're the maintenance and upkeep are the responsibility of the abutting property owner. We had notified them that they needed to trim the trees, or in the event that they didn't trim the trees, that the public works crews would come through and trim the trees so that we could get the sweeper down the street. The trees, I do have to say, the lady that had come forward from the Correll Association did say that, you know, they had beautiful street trees along their road, and I do have to say, they're right. They are beautiful. It is a very nice-looking neighborhood. The trees are extremely low, and the Subaru Crosstrack that was parked in front of my car, the blue one there, actually had branches that were scraping the top of the car. So a small crossover SUV is being impacted by the branches. I couldn't walk down the sidewalk because the branches were so low on the sidewalk side of it. These are the responsibility of the Homeowners Association, responsibility of the abutting property owner to maintain. I think they were concerned that Public Works would be coming through and cutting the trees in a non-aesthetically pleasing fashion. I do have to say that that is most likely the case, that if we came through, that we would prune the trees from a you know, need standpoint, not an aesthetic standpoint. So we would go through and trim them back so that we could get the sweeper down the street, part of our required street maintenance program, and we need to be able to access these areas. So we do request that the property owners do it. In the event that they don't do it, we will go out and trim areas where we've got problem trees. This is a common thing that happens in the spring every year when school gets back in session. We do get a kind of a list from the school district of areas where trees are encroaching in the right-of-way, and we go out and either address them with the property owner or address them with the public works crews. Right now, we're short a code enforcement officer, so it's difficult for us to follow up with these as an enforcement action and try to get the property owner. So in cases where we don't have the ability to keep hounding people and get them to take action with it, we'll go out and trim them as the path of least resistance. So.
Yeah.
Okay, their concern, their biggest concern is you lower the branches, you remove the branches on one side of the tree, but not the other. And the winds that we get here are almost hurricane force winds sometimes, and they're afraid that they're going to snap if that's all you do is trim one side and not the other. So you would need to trim all the way around.
We do not trim past the needs that we have. So if we need to get the sweeper on the street side of the tree, we're going to trim the street side of the tree. And this is much the same as PSE or any of the other agencies.
City-owned street, and I understand what you're saying, but the sidewalk side needs to be done as well because, you know, people are walking.
And that would be the responsibility of the property owner to go in, I think.
And these are old people. I mean, these are retired people, older than me.
And these were the conditions of the subdivision when it went in, and so this was something that was known, and I know that we've had an ongoing conversation about people going into HOAs, and while the responsibilities are laid out, whether or not people actually read them or set aside the money, and that's an ongoing thing that we see, you know, all over. I mean, Vista Ridge is another example of street trees where the street trees are heaving the sidewalks.
Yeah.
And
this is this is one that I mean, it does come up all over the city. We do have, you know, street trees as a requirement of developments when they go in, that they put in the street trees. They're required to be maintained, like I said, by the abutting property owner. In the case of Correll, they have a kind of an interesting mix because there's a public street through it. There are private streets that go through that development. They have trees on all the streets out there. The Homeowners Association, you know, properly running and properly funded homeowners association would be able to hire for this service. So, you know, in the case you indicate that it's a retirement community and the people, you know, may not be able to go out and prune the trees themselves, through the homeowners association, they would have the ability to contract for that service to be
Has
done.
The city ever trimmed the trees before?
I have not been in.
The city of Bellingham does.
In Correll?
In Correll.
To my knowledge, we haven't cut anything.
Because I know who used to trim them, but they. He just disassociated himself with the association. He got ticked off, and so he doesn't do that anymore, nor is he capable. This was years ago. So are you going to contact the...
Am I going to contact the Homeowners Association about the...
Their responsibility to trim the trees.
They have been contacted and they have been notified that it is their responsibility.
I mean, after this meeting, because they came to the council.
I will follow up with them, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So it seems to me, if I understand things correctly, we all want to help. Mm-hmm. The pathway forward is if we take a citywide responsibility to do all everybody's frontage trees. I mean, you have to be consistent throughout the city. And that's a Can you say bank capacity? Is that would be the principle. You would have to do that.
The one other thing that we're looking at are revising our street tree regulations slightly, not necessarily modifying the requirement for street trees, but looking at the types of street trees that are put in, where, you know, obviously you don't want to have fruit trees in there. There's also something to be said about looking at, you know, how fast trees can reach a point of maturity, you know, where there can be, you know, possibly faster growing trees or trees that don't necessarily have the branch. You know, these are 20-year-old trees out now, and their branches are now where I could probably walk under them, but, you know, a normal size adult male probably can't. But, you know, to look at ways where as the trees grow, possibly we don't have this long-term, you know, stooping down. So that's something that we're looking at for 2020, and there's a lot of resources out there because it's a fairly typical requirement in jurisdictions. Trees tend to grow just as fast in Ferndale as they do in Vancouver or Bellingham, so they've had these issues too. But we did see a number of these subdivisions, again, Vista Ridge, Correll, some others that were done at the beginning of the 2000s, and I think there was possibly a different philosophy at that point of, hey, yeah, stick these oaks out there to kind of replicate Linden's environment. Linden, it took 100 years for them to get as tall as they are, and this will be beautiful. And it's already beautiful, but this will be very...
80 years.
Exactly.
It was built by a Linden contractor.
Well, there you go.
But as long as you contact them and say it's their responsibility for the association,
yeah.
I feel
we will.
They would do that. They would hire somebody to do that. So
yeah,
so
we
I
will.
Make the motion.
We will follow up.
Okay. Motion has been made.
It's really not an action. It's an item because
there's no action.
Oh, okay.
Just discussion.
Thank you.
We will make sure they're told.
Yeah.
So if they don't do it, then how many days do you give them before the public works?
This issue has been out there for quite a while. I mean, I don't know when we first notified them, but I want to say it's probably been 2 months ago.
So what's the likeliness that Public Works would be trimming them up?
Well, the issue we have now is that, you know, when we originally notified them, we didn't have a whole lot of leaves on the ground, and you can see kind of an issue. You know, we need to get out, sweep streets, and make sure that the catch basins are clean and things like that. So this is you know, one of those areas that we can't get into right now. So it'd be best if they did it sooner rather than later.
It'd be easier if they waited for the leaves to fall off all the branches.
But they would need to clean their street in the interim period as well. So.
Have they always been disputing that they didn't have to cut the trees? Is that
this is the first time that I have had interaction with anybody from this particular development over the issue of the trees. Since I've been here, we have had issues, but mostly related to the main corridors, Second, Main, and Church, and the discussion on street trees along what are considered main thoroughfare, main corridor, that may more broadly be seen as trees of the city rather than trees of the property owner next door to it, and ones that have been put in projects that the city initiated, Main Street, Second Avenue, Church Road.
So I know other cities, when they deal with situations like this, if the city is forced to trim the trees, that they could go back and charge the adjacent property owners the cost of
And we have done that in the past.
But we don't have anything in place to do that, do we? Do we need something in place so that the cost isn't on the city, that it would go back to the property owner?
I think it would be billed to the association.
Or the association?
It would come out of the association
it would be,
dues.
I don't
we
know
would,
what they call that. There's a term for it. We'd have to look into
it. I was just reading my notes. I still have a condo in Seattle, and there's a tree. There's large trees in front, and the yearly fee is, the city of Seattle says the trees are right in front of you. Your condo association has to trim them. You have to get a permit from the city of Seattle that causes a cost. But I mean, the homeowner costs, I mean, it's figured in every year, tree trimming at certain times. So is it a lack of communication that somehow Corral misunderstood that we're supposed to do them? I got the impression they were like at the meeting that they were convinced that we were supposed to do it all.
Well, I was not the direct point of contact with that, so I have not had a direct conversation with the individual at the Homeowners Association related to the tree. It's all been relayed to me from the staff members.
And they've never trimmed their trees, so this would be the first time they trim their trees?
I have not been here long enough to know.
A resident trimmed the trees for years.
And he just did it.
He just did it. He painted every day.
Trimmed trees.
And he trimmed all, not just the Corral side,
yeah,
but the
so
city side too.
On that, you know, Corral Commons would be billed for, if the city took it, they would be billed through their association, and then Corral Park would be billed through their association.
We would not go on to any of the private streets in any instance.
Yeah, but they're separated by the street. Corral Park is on that side.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Corral Commons
okay.
is on
yeah,
this side.
Yeah.
So going backward, we're trimming one side of the tree?
We need to get the sweeper through, so we're going to trim the tree in order to get the sweeper through. That's the impetus for the tree trimming, is the need for street maintenance and to get the
trim one
sweeper
side of the tree
through.
And it's going to snap in the wind.
Well, yeah, and then so it seems like you could have a better coordination or something here.
Right.
As you're trimming one side, you know, that sounds like a communication mess. It really does. If you're trimming one side of the tree, then they go, hey, your side needs to be done.
I think that was their main issue, whether they trim them or the city trims them. But
they are
they
required
don't want
to trim them.
Lopsided.
So, like I said, this goes back to the fact that we don't have a code enforcement officer, and we have nobody that has the time
in this
office.
They talked to somebody about it.
Yeah, I know. They were notified by the city that they needed to trim the trees.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that we don't have a code enforcement officer that could follow up with them and go out, have an on-site meeting, talk to them about the whole thing, because that's the normal course of action would be for us to pursue that through code enforcement. But we currently do not have a code enforcement officer.
Well,
so.
And the nuance there is not, the way that we've always practiced code enforcement is not, you know, here's your fine, see you later, but really having that meeting and more coordination. So it does take, you know, sometimes quite a while to, you know, okay, gosh, yeah, it turns out we do need to do this. Okay, how do we do this? And that's really what the code enforcement officer has been able to.
When does Katrine come on?
Beginning of
December.
December 2nd.
December, yeah.
So not that far off.
No. I believe his last day is tomorrow.
Today's his last sign off. We're filming it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And then he needs to have a mandatory period between working as a police officer before he starts.
I guess, I mean, you could say, you could be like Puget Power, where Puget Power comes and says, we don't really need to contact you at all, and if you're infringing on us, we're going to cut it, and it's not going to look pretty, and we don't care.
Well, and you know, our code is written that the city can come in, trim, or remove as needed. So the code's pretty blunt on the issue that we have the right to go trim the trees. We were notifying the property owner that they needed to trim, and that if they didn't trim them, that we would come through and trim, but we're not going to trim the whole thing.
Yeah, but it sounds like there's been some communication, you know, a little bit less of a communication, I guess, one guy did it. But.
It sounds like they were accustomed to having it done, and then suddenly it wasn't.
Right now the association's facing it.
So. Yeah. One of the things that we started doing a couple of years ago, and then we didn't have the resources to continue to do it, is to really augment our communications to the HOAs. You know, this is one example, but again, what we've seen quite often is a new subdivision is created, everything's brand new, it's under warranty somewhat, so you got 10 or 15 years before you really need to worry about anything. And so people generally start their HOA, everybody's like, hey, we're neighbors, this is great, let's have our neighborhood, you know, garage sales and picnics and all that, and then they're like, well, we don't really have anything to do, you know, between like years 3 and 15. So everybody goes away, and then things start failing, you know, or the trees start growing or other things.
The storm pond needs to be maintained.
Yeah, because there's grocery carts in there and all that, and they don't know what to do. And so one of the things that we'd like to do long-term, once if we can get the resources to do it, is to kind of keep up that communication a little bit more to make sure that they're, to the extent that we can legally see that they are funding their HOA and creating reserves in their HOA, so that if something breaks, you know, these are not a cheap, you know, things where, you know, they're looking at maybe, you know, 20,000 hits sometimes or more. You know, an HOA of, well, okay, a good example right now on Heather Drive, we have Wacom's Gadget housing development going on. 19 homes?
18 or 19.
18 or 19.
Yeah.
Huge stormwater vaults, and it's on a hillside, and it's going to be great once it's done. But if those fail, for those 19 low to moderate income families, if that breaks, that's catastrophic for them. So that's why making sure that your HOA is funded, making sure that you're ready for something is so important, because otherwise the taxpayers have to foot the bill if we were to take it over, or they're in violation. And if they're in violation, where in that case, if their stormwater facility breaks, guess what? It's here, Shell Creek is here. Shell Creek is an important water body. You don't want muddy stormwater going in. So, resources.
Anything else? All right, that concludes our meeting.